Judiciary Committee is in order. We have a quorum present, that being Senators Parnell, Ellis, and Chair Taylor. The first matter before us is CS for House Bill 115, Judiciary. Yes, please.
Thank you, Senator Taylor. For the record, my name is Pamela Finley, and I am the reviser. This is a housekeeping bill. There is nothing in here which I did not either ask for or agree to. I think the only two sections that are of much interest to anyone are Sections 9, which prevents the state, it prevents any argument that the state has waived its 11th Amendment immunity in federal court, and Section 11, which puts a missing knot back in the Uniform Probate Code. Section 11 is also made retroactive to the date of those probate amendments, which was last January. I would be happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Senator Parnell.
I can clarify for the record. Section 29 are the motor vehicle registration fees. Mm-hmm. No changes to those, even though they're all listed there.
Oh, yes. The only change is to registration versus license.
And there's no way that we don't have any hanky-panky. The other side, could they change those at all under the title that we've got?
It's in the second house, so if nothing happens change this, then...
I didn't notice that. Thank you.
And I don't think anything can be changed. I didn't even have anybody ask. And
then Section 31 is program receipts. Has that been changed in the other bill as well?
There is another bill that is dealing with this same section. I'm hoping this one will pass and the other one will just come on top of it in terms of time. If, however, that doesn't happen, then when I publish it, I would certainly give way to the other one, which makes a little more substantive change than this.
And then could you explain what's happening in Section 33? That was my last question.
Oh, yes. I don't quite remember. It was several years ago that a lot of the investment decisions were tied to the standards of AS 1425-180, which is a teacher's retirement system section. But a lot of the other retirement systems were, there were cross-references to 1425-180, so that they were all going to be treated the same. And it's the use of the word for investments under. The Attorney General, I think, called me, and he was a little worried that just saying under 1425-180 would only refer to the teacher's retirement provisions, whereas the intent of all of this was to have any retirement system that is governed by 1425-180 also governed by this definition of fiduciary. So it's simply to make it clear that this, that 1425-180, that the definition of fiduciary applies to these other retirement systems as well.
Yes. Is there any other person in the room that wishes to testify on House Bill 115, the revisor's bill? There, it doesn't appear to be.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill number 115, Judiciary amended. May with individual recommendation.
Any objection? There being no objection, it moves. Thank you very much, Dan, for sitting around. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. SB 25. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate you having the bill before you in such an expedited manner. I'm going to abbreviate the comments I made to the State Affairs Committee because those are in the bill packet, and I think you all are familiar with the concept of updating our victim notification system from trying to send letters to outdated addresses of victims as they move around from place to place, and going to a state-of-the-art computer and phone message system. Ethel Behrens, the Daily News Send Me to Juno contest winner, I think visited with many of you, so you understand the drive behind this to fulfill some of the promise of the constitutional amendment for victims' rights in the state constitution. But suffice to say that proper and timely notification of victims of violent crime is a big problem in Alaska. With the percentage of violent offenders we have in the correction system and the fact that about 600 Alaskans call our state institutions every day asking for information about the status of inmates. And this will allow for within 10 minutes of a change in status for a victim to be notified and to allow for a two-way confidential exchange of information so people can call in and find out what's going on. and again, to be notified when there's a change in status. In the last committee of referral, we had, as I said, Ethel Behrens testify. We also had folks from the prosecutor's office at the local level, and a number of other folks testify in support of the legislation. There's good support from around the state, numerous chiefs of police, Victims for Justice, Peace Officers Association, and others who are in support of the bill. We worked very hard to get the fiscal note down. Department of Corrections whittled it down from $250,000 when I asked, down to $150,000 when I asked them to come up with a bare bones startup cost. And so everyone's trying to make this as workable as possible. And with that, Mr. Chairman, again, thank you, and I try and answer any questions.
Senator Parnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've asked Senator Ellis's question before, and I could discuss it here. At line 6 on page 1, it says the Department of Corrections may establish an automated victim notification system. I'd like to see that change to shall so that it's not discretionary. If we give them $150,000, they're going to go ahead and do this. So I just wanted to have the sponsor's comments on that and whether you'd have a problem with that.
Mr. Chairman, could we call someone from the Department of Corrections forward to see if that's a problem? That's not a problem with me. That's the way it came back from the drafters. I also understand the Department of Corrections wanted to, we're thinking of having legislation introduced to do this same thing. So we're on the same wavelength with automatic victim notification. It helps them with their internal workings quite a bit. But I wouldn't have a problem with the change in language if the department does.
It seems to be it'd be necessary both on page 1, line 6, and also on page 2, line 10. From the Department of Corrections, if you'll give us your name for the record.
Yes, Chairman Bruce Richards from the Department of Corrections. I don't believe that the department has any problems with that. If you give us money, I'm certain that we're going to put the system in place.
Well, the only question I have with that, Bruce, and Mr. Chairman, I did look at line 10 of page 2, and also there's another one at line 8 of page 1, and it kind of defines the scope of the system. And I'm not sure if changing those last two may to shall will impact the fiscal note if we require. I mean, I'd like to see it be included. But Bruce, do you know whether we'd impact the fiscal note by changing the other two mays?
Let me look at the first near the system shall also allow crime business initiate phone calls. The only thing that I would say on page 1, line 8, if you change that to shall, it would definitely firm up the fiscal note because it's going to require, my understanding on this victim notification system is there's two parts. One is the actual notification call that's generated by the computer. The other half is a system where you can actually call in and check on the status of an inmate for several things, bail, visitation, things like that. And that would actually generate revenues because it's a 1-900 number. I guess something similar to, I don't know if it's a 900 number, but it's similar to how that works. So that would require that half of the system if you're looking at page 1, line 8.
And what about page 2, line 10? What about the same thing?
Same thing.
Did you have a third spot? The system may on line 8, was that what you were talking
right
about?
Right on page 1. I just don't know if you want to leave that alone and change the first one to get more testimony.
Do you have any problem, Bruce, with any of those three?
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't. I think that if this legislation were to pass, I think the department would certainly want to do the second half of that system, you know, as a shall, because that's part of the revenue generator.
Do you have any objections, Senator Ellis? Senator Parnell?
Well, Mr. Chairman, with that, I move Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 25 to change at page 1, line 6, change the word may to shall. At page 1, line 8, change the word may to shall. Page 2, line 10, change the word may to shall.
Is there any discussion? Any objection to the amendment? There being no objection, the amendment passes. Thank you, Bruce. Any further questions for the department? Jane Andrew. Pleasure of the committee. Are there other witnesses who might wish to testify? Well, I would note for the record also that Ms. Ethel Behrens came to see me, had a nice chat with her, and really appreciated her coming down. nice lady.
And, Mr. Chairman, we, out of deference to you and the committee's time, we didn't line up a whole bunch of witnesses, which we could have easily, but we just didn't do that because we knew that we needed support on the committee, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead. And, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the amendment as well, because I think that's the direction to the department and makes people know that even with other things going on, that they'd be required to do this, so.
I thank you for bringing it forward. I really appreciate it. Why don't you make the motion, Senator?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 25 move on to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? There being no objection, the bill moves from committee with individual recommendations.
Thank you.
Senate Bill Number 26.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 26 is a companion appropriation bill, but there, in the last committee of referral, a $150,000 fiscal note was attached to 25. So it's just up to the committee if you want to send 26 along so the finance committee could deal with it in either way. I think the fiscal note is the advisable and preferable way to do it. So we could just send 26 along or leave it here, whatever your pleasure.
Why don't we send it along? We can let them kill the fiscal note on it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that...
the authorization bill, I should.
Senate Bill 26, move on to the finance committee with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? There being no objection, it now resides in the finance committee, or will shortly. Again, thank you, Senator Ellis. I really appreciate your bringing this to our attention, because without it, I think the amendment passed to our Constitution is fairly hollow. Senate Joint Resolution Number 29. It is my intent not to move this bill out of committee at this time, but I did want to give the public an opportunity for hearing on it. Is there anyone who wishes to testify? My purpose in bringing this legislation before the committee is to provide the voters of Alaska with a constitutional amendment wherein it would require a two-thirds vote of the legislature before any new state tax could be imposed. In light of the recent vote on the tobacco tax, that would not have been a problem here in the Senate, and it may not be a problem for taxes that are strongly supported. I do think it would, however, give us pause for consideration as we move towards new and additional burdens on the people of Alaska, and it'll be something that we'll have an opportunity to pass through the legislature and give the people of Alaska an opportunity to vote on. With that comment, I won't ask if the bill move, and we'll do some hearings in the interim and talk about it a little bit. Once again, I want to thank you, Senator Ellis, and your staff for the good work on the bill. Anything further to come before the committee? Thank you all for your patience, too, with the chair. I really apologize for that.